one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
See, roll call, everybody's here. Next on our agenda is citizen input. So if there's any citizens out there that would like to address the council on council issues or something that you have concerns about, raise your hand and acknowledge you, and I'll give you 5 minutes to address the council. Okay, do I hear a motion on the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? Okay. Okay. Oh, approval agenda. I guess I jumped down, didn't I? Approval of agenda. Do I hear a motion for that?
Make that motion.
Okay.
Second. I'll second that motion.
All right. Any discussion? Nope. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? Okay. ACDC presentation, mini loan program. Kara Brockle?
Sorry.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Just afraid to close it there. Everybody here okay? All right. The Adams County Development Council wishes to develop a revolving loan fund and micro enterprise development project designed to support small enterprises in Adams County. This project will target low and moderate income small business owners and self-employed individuals wishing to obtain business assistance and capital.
Hey, Kara,
yes?
Hold a second.
Oh.
What is that? It's distracting everybody. So, is that the mic? Did she grab it or something?
No.
What is it? Honest?
Yeah.
Oh.
Could have seen Doyle chase one around with a net. Is that the wall, Steve? Can you tell?
That's not a bird.
Okay. Go ahead. Sorry. I didn't know it was the mic. Maybe we could do something to correct it, so.
Just talk with the birds.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways. This project will target low and moderate income business, small business owners and self-employed individuals wishing to obtain business assistance and capital to start and grow their businesses. The purpose of this presentation is to identify this project as a benefit for the City of Othello and to inform the Othello City Council members of the benefits of having a revolving loan fund available for the members of this community. The basic idea behind revolving loan funds is that they are self-sustaining. When a loan is made, the interest made from the transaction is used to replenish the loan pool. There are alternative lending sources and revolving loan funds that serve Adams County currently, but we want to create a program that is specific to the needs of this county. Most financial institutions do not lend in the capital range needed by most microenterprises, which is between $250 to about $35,000. We want to provide a cost-efficient and convenient way for Adams County residents to obtain the financing and business education they need to be successful in Adams County. A revolving loan fund can be very beneficial for the City of Othello because it provides a vehicle for business creation and self-employment. It creates jobs and addresses rural isolation where opportunities are few. It creates access to capital and alternative lending resources. It promotes economic self-sufficiency for low-income and disadvantaged populations. And it provides economic and social return on investment. The ACDC has already created a draft policy for the program. The specific numbers that and details that I will be presenting for you here are not the official policy at this time, but it will give you an idea of what we plan to do. I will highlight the three main portions that we're going to address in our program. The first piece is the lending portion. Business owners or prospective business owners in Adams County can apply for a loan in any amount up to $30,000, with the average loan size of about $12,000. We will certainly welcome smaller loans as well. For example, some business owners only need $500 or so to buy the supplies that will help them jumpstart their business. The goal is not to compete with local lenders, but rather to provide an option for those who have been unable to secure funding through traditional means. This means we will require a letter of rejection from at least one financial institution before we consider lending to a prospective client. The second portion of the program is education. Along with the loan application, applicants must submit a comprehensive business plan. The ACDC would like to be able to provide technical assistance and business training that will provide clients with the tools to succeed in this area. The ACDC will develop programs that assist clients in completing their business plan, how to better understand their target markets, marketing strategies, bookkeeping systems, and financial management. We hope to do this by creating partnerships with local organizations and by utilizing the educational options that are already available. For example, the ACDC is already working with the Prosperity Center in Moses Lake to be able to broadcast the business training program they currently offer from a location in Othello so that it will be more accessible to clients living in this area. The final piece is the post-loan technical support. For those customers that obtain loans from the Adams County Development Council's Small Business Revolving Loan Program, post-loan technical assistance will be provided to borrowers to help ensure the survival and/or the growth of the business and to guard against possible loan defaults. The assistance includes one-on-one meetings, phone calls, correspondence, and possible training classes that help with issues related to small business startup, small business management, accessing markets, marketing, financial management, and record keeping, among other topics. The ACDC plans to achieve this by developing partnerships with small business development centers. The programs they currently offer provide the same levels of support that we hope to provide our applicants. Currently, the Council's largest obstacle in putting this program in place is funding. Once there is funding available to support the loan pool and the administrative costs, the Council can work to finalize the policy. ECDC strongly believes that a revolving microloan fund can be of great benefit to Adams County businesses. We believe this program will provide the tools that can both help current and prospective business owners in Adams County and grow their businesses successfully. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the proposal this evening, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them at this time.
Council? I got a question. You said education. Do you guys work with the Small Business Administration?
Not closely at this time. I mean, we do have contacts there, and we actually had someone who came and spoke at our business conference back in October, but at this time we don't.
I know, I don't know if they still do that, but they used to offer retired professionals, I believe, that would help people with their businesses come in and...
They do, actually still offer that, you're correct.
Do something like that. And also, after you loan the money, do you have a follow-up type program where you come and see how they're doing and offer more help if they need it, or help them see the need for the help or whatever?
Yeah, that would be the third piece of the program, post-loan technical assistance. That's what we would hope to partner with the Small Business Development Centers, because a lot of the programs that they already offer are for businesses that are already in place. And so they are actually very excited to work with us once we get this program going.
Any other council members?
I didn't understand where the seed money for these loans are coming from.
That's our largest obstacle, is we need to come up with the money for the loan pool and the administrative costs. Are there any other questions?
Well, thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, Main Street proposal, Jay.
Good evening. The January workshop, City Engineers Gray and Osborne, Taylor and Larry here, presented an estimate of what it would cost to overlay the remaining streets in Othello. This cost estimate was reaching about $40 million, and we went through that all at the workshop. Identification of the remaining streets along with the estimated costs were broken down into three parts: materials, neighborhood streets, and Main Street by phases. So tonight what we want to do is back that up now that we've seen what it's going to take to do everything, and we want to talk about a portion of Main Street. And this portion, what we're talking about, is 7th to 14th Avenue, which would be the phase one of the Main Street reconstruction. And this is going to include some water mains, storm sewer, curb gutter, wheelchair ramps, and traffic signal improvements. And I've got just a few pictures here that I wanted to show of the condition of Main Street as of Friday. Give me just a second to bring them up here.
Steve,
As you can see in this picture here, we have an annual crack sealing project that we do to the tune of about $25,000 a year. And you can see these lines right here are all cracks that have been filled several times over the last 6-8 years on Main Street. Just more recently here, if you look in the travel lane, this is an eastbound lane. It's starting to come apart because of the mild winter that we've had. And so we've been out patching this just real recent. You can see new cracks developing again, and it's just on and on and on, and it's never ending through this portion. And this kind of goes throughout. Here's some areas along the curb and gutter here that are just completely breaking out and leaving. And this is what we're battling on Main Street all the way through.
Jay, could you go back one? What are the transverse lines there?
These?
Yeah, all of those.
These are the ones I was talking about that we've been filling with tar and sand. You see the crews in here every year doing it. And this is consistent for the full length of Main Street all the way through. You can see some of them that have developed since the last time we crack sealed. Pieces like this just coming out of Main Street everywhere. And then this is looking up Main Street towards 7th Avenue, and you can see that this is happening lengthways, and what these used to be were the paving joints. And inevitably, that's what you end up with. And we just can't keep up with the crack sealing. And you can see it's starting to come apart and become more aggregate now than pavement. And this is consistent all the way through. And this is one of the intersections that's pretty typical. This is probably one of the better ones, actually, that's showing a lot of the potholing from the cross traffic both directions. And it's not holding up anymore. And this is looking at 14th Avenue eastbound. And this area is actually starting to wear in traffic lines. It's fairly deep. You've all driven across it and seen it. And this is some of the patching that we've done just to try to get through here recently. But those are the pictures that I have. But what we want to do tonight is we want to present to you what it's going to take from 14th Avenue, working west to 7th Avenue, block by block. We want to show you that in costs, including traffic signals. And we're going to break it out by water, storm sewer, and by the general fund, the street fund, which is going to include the curb and gutter ramps and such. And so Taylor and Larry are both here tonight, and I'm going to have them walk you through that portion of it. And then Mike is going to get up and explain some other possible funding solutions that we have for this tonight. Taylor, don't get rid of this.
Hello, Mayor, Council. Okay, as Jay said, this is just Main Street. Here's just a picture of Main Street and what it could possibly look like. Your current streets, as Jay just showed you a few pictures, and my link is not working. Here is Main Street and drawn by phases. Again, we're going from 7th to 14th.
Could you do me a favor? This
sure.
is for me to push F5.
Oh, sorry. There we go. Now it's going
to
work.
I wanted to see if that worked on all computers. Now you should be able to just do the down arrow to go through. All right.
So now I'm betting it's going to work.
Maybe.
Or not. I had a hyperlink there. So this is just the map that was in the last presentation that we did, showing the three phases of Main Street. And this phase would start at 7th Avenue, tying into the existing systems, and work its way towards 14th. this sheet shows a breakdown of what this, the street cost would be by block, and the running total as you progressed through each block, and then the signal costs on 7th and 11th Street. And this column over here shows you the individual water costs by block and the totals of those costs. If you still have your pamphlets from the last presentation, you'll notice that this cost is around about $200,000 less than the cost that we showed you last time. The reason that is because this is an inclusive cost shown as a project as one, where last time we broke it down as this block would be an individual project. So when you do individual projects, you'll have additional MOB costs, additional contingency costs. This project is all in one, and this street cost also includes storm drainage. Because there's not a separate fund for storm drainage, that's included with the street cost. Is there any questions on that?
Jared, can you break down the different costs from what fund? I mean, it's on there, but it's, you know, make sure everybody understands different money, different costs of money.
Sure. The street and the signal would all come from your general fund. So this total cost, $1,582,000, would all come from your general fund for the streets. If you chose to do the signals with that, that would also come from that fund. The $609,000, which is the total cost of the water for each individual block, would come from your water fund. If you give me just a second here, I had some pictures that were supposed to show up as part of that. But this is what you're, again, this is at 7th Street, a picture that I took earlier in the year when I was up here, looking towards 14th Street. And this is what the street looks like now. Like Jay was saying, you can see a lot of crack sealing. You can kind of see the road rut here a little bit. And this is what it could look like when the project is finished. There's a new signal here, and obviously with new pavement, there's no cracks in it.
So what kind of work are you proposing? Are they stripping that whole thing down? Are they just grinding off top layer, or what are we?
Well, it would be just grinding off the top few inches. There are some problems, as I'm sure you've all seen, along Main Street where many years in the past they've done an overlay, and when they reach the curb edge, there's a lip of asphalt mm-hmm. there. In some places, it's pretty significant. So what we would do is we'd grind that lip off and then taper the grind as you work towards the middle of the street so that when you came back, you'd still have the crown to the street, but you'd get a new lift of 2 inches of asphalt everywhere. So where there's that lip, in some places, you would end up grinding more than 2 inches. Mm-hmm. And then we would lay geotextile fabric down to help prevent the transverse cracking and longitudinal cracking from coming through in the new asphalt. And then you'd lay the new asphalt on top of that.
Is that geofiber very expensive, whatever you're talking about?
I can't remember an exact cost, but I think it's around, I want to say $2 and some odd cents a square foot.
A square yard. Well, I guess I'm asking is we've been doing our neighborhoods and we don't use that, do we? Do we put that down in neighborhoods?
No.
Because I've got cracking. I got a new street in front of me. That's, what, a couple, 3 years old? It's cracking already.
The neighborhood streets typically don't see the amount of traffic volume that Main Street does. Now, not that a geotextile fabric would not help that, just that Main Street sees such a much larger volume of traffic mm-hmm. that the fabric is a little more beneficial there.
Any other council members have questions?
So you're not going to get up into the base at all anywhere?
No. There are any areas that show some significant subgrade failure. Where you can tell makes subgrade failure most obvious is what they call alligator cracking, and that's where you see the small chunks of asphalt, little pieces everywhere. That means there's probably a subgrade failure there, and in that area you will go down to the base and replace the base materials because obviously that subgrade is not working. So in areas like that, the subgrade will be replaced. Where the water line and the storm drainage lines are put in, all new base will be put in there. It'll be brought up to the lower surface of the asphalt. A pre-level asphalt will be put down because you can't lay that geotextile fabric down on gravel materials. And then after the fabric's laid down, obviously it'll all be the same level, and then the new asphalt will be put over the top.
Are we replacing our curb at the same time? Curbs?
Just portions that are not in alignment or that are obviously beyond repair.
Yeah.
Portions of curb will be replaced.
What's the estimated longevity of the overlay itself? Of how long it'll last before we need to redo it again.
There, lots of people have different opinions on how long that would last. Some people say, you know, you're not going to get an overlay to last more than 15 years. Other guys will say 25. The fabric, what they can say is the fabric definitely helps the longevity. And so, you know, 15 to 25 years. I'm not going to claim that I've been doing this that long so that I could tell you from experience.
Talk to the other guy.
Rub it in.
Question on the contract. Can we specify that the overlapping cracks be along the painted lines? I mean, on Broadway's doing that.
Right.
Everywhere.
Right,
even on the state highways. And you get on the state highways, the crack is right where the tires run. And it's just like, oh, man. So if it was where that white line is and where the dotted line is, the seam, yeah. We're talking about that seam.
Almost all contractors try to do that anyways, but we could write that into a specification, I suppose. But they can only lay it so wide. But they do try to lay it so that the seams do not come into the tire lanes.
Oh, I see it everywhere.
There we go.
But
and maybe that's a newer thing.
Can we specify they take off 3 inches or 2, or how does that bid out?
In areas certain areas where I'm talking about that have that lip, I will specify that they need to go 2 inches below the gutter pan. That way, when you lay new asphalt back, you'll have 2 inches of fresh asphalt there, and it'll line up with your current existing gutter pan.
Well, I'm kind of with Tim on the overlays. I'm a little disillusioned because the new overlay on my street, when I go down the street, there is like, it's not cracked, there's a 1 inch gap. And under the right freeze-thaw conditions, that street would be gone. I mean, there'd nothing for water to get down there and freeze and blow that right up. So that's why I'm saying, you know, I'd 3 inches or do something else, but just an overlay, unless this fabric you're talking about performs miracles, I'm not so sure anymore.
A lot of what you see
the tennis courts like 4 inches?
That was new.
Well, if let's make it new.
The thing that you have going for you on Main Street right now, about a month ago I came out and I did some cores with the city crew, and your existing asphalt, I did a core at every block and one in the parking lane as well. And your existing asphalt right now is 6 inches or thicker.
What do you mean by core?
We took a drill and drilled a 4-inch core all the way through your asphalt and into your subgrade material. So I actually did it in your center lane so that I wouldn't interrupt a traffic lane. And we drilled a hole all the way through it so I could see exactly how thick the asphalt was and what the materials were like underneath it. Unfortunately, I came out and did that when it was 10 and 12 degrees out here, so I wasn't able to get real far into the subgrade, but I could tell that there was at least 4 inches of crush surfacing materials underneath your 6 inches, minimum of 6 inches of asphalt.
So with 6 inches of asphalt, is it better to take 2 inches off and rely on what's underneath, or is it better to take 4 inches off and add more new stuff?
Well, the new stuff is obviously better, but it's also much more expensive.
Like 10% more or double or?
Double.
Wow.
I mean, double in your asphalt cost, not double in overall.
I gotcha. Yeah, that's true.
In the case of what we did on South Broadway, where we took it down really, that street for the 5 blocks had obviously had a subgrade failure. Main Street is not indicating this same subgrade failure.
Main Street as a whole is looking as a great overlay project, because at this point there hasn't been any major areas where it's let water through and had some major frost heave like you were talking about. It's still in good enough shape that it hasn't let that water and moisture in there. So if you grind and overlay it now, it helps prevent it from getting worse and letting the water and moisture in that area to cause the major failures that you've described.
Eamon, I have a question for you. Do we have a truck limitation on Main Street, or the allowance of trucks across Main Street?
Weight limits.
Can we change that?
That's what I'm wondering too.
We can post weights if we need to. We haven't seen the need to on Main yet. A lot of county roads don't have weight restriction. We can do that if it comes to that.
Okay.
What about no through traffic? Or local deliveries only. I realize we're the truck capital of the world here, but I see trucks come off of 17 and go all the way through town, and I can't figure out why they would do that when we have Lee Street and 26 on each side of us. It just seems like it just beats our roads up.
You're right. And about 6 years ago, we met with all the industries in town, and we put together a program. That's when all the signs went up on 26 and 17. We worked with all the industries in town and sent maps to all of their carriers to show them how to access Othello. And it worked for several years. And it's probably time to do that again. That's what I'm hearing. I see them from City Hall coming through residential areas, big semi.
Yeah.
However, remember that even though you can restrict trucks to truck routes, if they have a delivery point that they're going to, you cannot prohibit a truck from going to it. They have a right to make a delivery. And we have a residential area back here that gets semi-truck deliveries.
Well,
yeah.
That's needs to be off topic here, but you know, so I'm delivering my lunch to my house, you know, where there's... And I don't know, I looked at it, you know, even from a safety standpoint, I see little kids standing on the corner and these 18-wheelers go by on Main Street, and I'm just like, do we have to do this, and should we put up signage to...
You can change the truck routes in the city anytime you desire. I have a question there. Taylor, could you go back to the picture?
Sure.
The insert picture, can you make that the big picture? Yeah, bottom right. Now, you talk, perfect. Can you run through that gutter pan and the overlay on the gutter pan again? Because that's a real good example right there.
All right. Right here, this is it's kind of a little bit tough to see in this picture, but the asphalt sticks up. I'm not sure exactly what it is right there. But there's a 2-inch lip, and that means that I'm describing that the asphalt sticks up 2 inches above the concrete gutter. And so the plan is we'll grind that down 4 inches so that the remaining asphalt below that is 2 inches below the concrete. And when we're done, it's back to perfectly level. Right now, a problem that you could see is that the water would sit in there if you had a significant amount of rain or snow melt or whatever. It would sit in there and would have the chance to get in, because it's hard to create a seal there with the asphalt being up like it is, where when you grind it, they'll put a seal coat against that concrete and against the asphalt down there, and a tack coat to help the new asphalt tack up and seal against there better, which will help prevent moisture from getting down there.
And even in the past, on overlays, we've started to make that part of our crack seal project. When a street is newly overlaid, is to go back and do the crack seal between the curb and gutter and the asphalt, just as an additional measure. I don't think we did this last year, though. I think that was left out. But one of these spots to try to take care of is that one.
Taylor?
Yeah.
Another thing, too, is by getting rid of that, you get more volume of water in that gutter too. So you got a more flow of water that your streets, you can get rid of that water quicker as far as your wastewater. So it needs to be done. That was just a oversight way back years ago.
And currently, your current storm drainage system, you don't have any catch basins on the south side of Maine. All of your catch basins are on the north side up here. And you have one at every corner of each block. And the way they work currently is, for lack of a better term, they're called bubblers. So it'll go down on one side. I mean, Main Street flows from 14th towards 1st. So they'll go down on one side, it'll come back up on the other side, and then flow down to the next block. And then your current storm drainage system starts at 7th, and then that's where it goes into a main line and goes into your current storm drainage system and then down to the retention pond by SR26. So by the new storm drainage system, we'll put catch basins at all four corners and any other place that they're needed. And the water will go into that catch basin, go into a trunk line, and then travel down. So it'll be much more effective at getting water off of Main Street.
No, I think I spaced this out, but I want to be clear. If we're paying money for the water lines, certain portions of that asphalt, we're going to be trenching all the way through the asphalt, digging 6-8 feet down. And are we doing a new water line, or following the same water line? Or?
A new 12-inch water line is what those costs reflect. From all the way from 7th to 14th.
Those, you think we got metal in there now? Some kind of iron line, or?
It's steel and AC. I thought it was all AC, but I think there is some steel.
There's some steel, but a lot of AC pipe.
Which is asphalt?
Asbestos concrete.
Nice.
And all the costs associated with that trench and putting asphalt back over that trench are included in the water line cost.
DOH minimum water line size is 10.
Yes, I believe that's correct. And this would be a 12-inch line.
And to be clear, this goes through the intersections of 14th and 7th?
Yes.
Because both those intersections
are pretty
beat up. And
a little bit onto each side street.
Each one of these corners is going to receive the new handicap ramps. And so what we've done is planned all the way around each corner at each intersection, far back enough not
So did you guys fine us $10 million or something like that?
Well,
is this the true cost, 2.597 for everything? The 14th to the 7th, including the water?
2.597.
That's just your engineer's estimate.
That's the estimate that's based on looking at all the work from 7th to 14th inclusive, so we get some savings there. The more quantity we have, the better price we get per ton or per yard. It also includes the savings, and rather than a 20% contingency, it's a 10% contingency. We've also tightened the belt on the engineering portion, dropped that down to about an 18% rather than a 25%. Again, because we do it all at once, we have one inspector, it's not working off into separate jobs.
Makes sense.
So to clarify that, these costs are inclusive of all engineering costs.
Total yes. Project costs.
Yes. Total project costs.
Striping?
Yes.
And signals.
Yeah. Is that signal going to stay at 11th?
Yes. Yes. One item we also would like to note, we just actually got information about today, having to do with funding. And I segue to talk about where the money would possibly come from. Mike's going to talk a little later about city funds, but one thing we wanted to bring up, you may be aware that there's been talk of additional ARRA or recovery funds from the feds. Well, it's just starting to trickle down that the 2010 version is about to hit the streets. The DOT and the Regional Transportation Planning Organization that we're part of here called Quadco is about to bring out information and is starting to let out word that there'll be some funds available, like last year, for projects that are shovel ready. We don't know a lot of details yet. We don't know how much money each individual community could apply for, how much the Quadco itself will be could apply for throughout the whole state. This is a type of project that could be very eligible because it helps towards job retention, being that Main Street has a lot of businesses and commercial activity on it. It also would be shovel ready because the city is already funding a portion of the design so that we could, with very quick work, get the project out to bid within the either 90 or 120 days that the funding sources are saying we would have to have a project ready to bid. We don't know if it's 90, we don't know if it's 120. There's still a lot of confusion, just like last year, on what's available and timing-wise, when it's gonna hit the streets. We would like to see if it fits perfectly or even fits together at all with what we're talking about here, depending upon, of course, what council would like to do this evening, is apply for whatever funding is out there. I don't think we'd get the full project. We might be able to apply for a quarter of it, but it's grant money, and any funds that we could get coming in would offset costs the city would have out of pocket. So we don't know a lot of details. We've just heard about it. As more information comes in, we'll let Jay and Eamon know so they can apprise you all as the projects come about. One of the titles they're calling this year's funding is Jobs for Main Street. Now, what a perfect fit in for this project. And if it's okay with council, we'll run with that, submit whatever applications we can, and start running up at the flagpole. Just so you know, even if this portion of Main Street is not eligible or is turned down for that, we still have phase two and phase three that we can apply for these same funds if phase one is too far into it or doesn't fit exactly. We can still apply for additional funds for the second and third phase.
since I did the packet information, Councilmember Johnson came in the other day and asked me why I wasn't using the utility tax fund reserve. And I can't explain why I didn't. I just forgot about it. So what I did is I have a handout here, a couple of handouts. One shows you the information out of the utility tax fund that was for the 2010 budget. It's over in the right-hand column. And so it'll give you an update on where it stands. Down at the bottom, there's some calculations. There's some calculations down at the bottom that'll explain what's going on in that fund for 2010. And then I did a new spreadsheet on the calculations for this project, and I'm going to bring them up on the overhead and walk through them. And then if you want to change anything, if you have suggestions on any kind of changes, I can change them on the screen, and we can see what the effect of that is. I'm not going to bring up the picture of the utility tax fund. I think I know that pretty well. In the very right hand column is the 2010 budget on that sheet, and at the bottom are the calculations. And I think there's around $827,502 expected to ending reserves in that fund. I want to make this a little bit bigger. Okay. So what I've done here, maybe I'll make it just a little. Well. Okay, let's do this. Let's go back to 100%. What I did in the top scenario number one, in the left-hand column is total reserves in the specified fund. So, in the general fund, 1.292705. In the water utility fund, 1.141. And these are reserves that we would have at the end of 2010. And then the sewer utility, a little over $2 million. The street fund will be about $410,000. The real estate excise tax fund at $427,000. And the utility tax fund, $827,502. The second column shows how much, in this scenario, would be used out of those reserve funds. And then the third column shows the balance in those reserves for each of the funds after we do that. Then in the right-hand section where it says expenditures, here's how it's set up for the streets in the scenario that we just showed on this project. We need 1.988 to do the streets and the signals, and two signals. And this is how it plays out. $200,000 from the general fund in this scenario, an interfund loan from the sewer fund for $558,235, $210,000 roughly from the street fund reserves, $427,000 from the real estate excise tax, and then the utility tax fund of $592,705. The water fund, of course, pays for all the water improvements,
and that is the total of the project of $2,597,000. In your packet, I included an amortization schedule that shows how that interfund loan will be paid back. I used an interest rate of 4%. And over a five-year period, it comes out around $125,000 a year. And my recommendation would be to pay that out of the utility tax fund annually. That would be a five-year repayment plan. Scenario number two changes a little bit. In this, there was the talk about eliminating the Olympia Street project and including that $220,000. So that's the difference in this scenario. Yeah, it's the second item, the Olympia Street project, and that is already budgeted. It has already been budgeted to be paid out of the utility tax fund to the street fund for that project. So in this scenario, we basically take that money from that project and include it in this project, and so the interfund loan for the sewer utility drops down to $338,000. And the payback would be over a three-year period. And once again, it's right around the $125,000 range. I think it's a little less than that, about $121,000. And that would be done in 3 years. And once again, I would recommend paying that out of the utility tax fund.
Just as a quick note on scenario number two, if council decided to go that direction, we could keep the Olympia Street project in as an alternate for the bid, just in case bids come in low enough.
So we present these to council tonight for discussion and recommendation.
That interfund loan is pretty creative. The auditors don't beat you up on that kind of thing.
As long as it's done by council, and as long as we have stipulations in there as when it's going to be paid back, and that there is a market rate of interest included in the loan.
It's typical to do a lot of cities do.
Is that right?
But Mike identified the elements of the auditor's check.
So you're paying yourself back, basically.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, once again, this is a separation between the enterprise funds, which can't be. You
right.
Know, yeah. And so it takes care of that separation. It's done legally as a loan.
I guess, Mike, which fund is it that has, or pardon me, that comes off the homes being built? Which fund has that in it?
That's the real estate excise tax, fund 135.
Is that the one you're talking about using right here?
Yeah, it has $427,000 in it, or will at the end of this year, at the end of 2010.
No, I think no. Yeah. He has about the park fund.
Oh, the park. I'm sorry. Yeah. Of course, that isn't in here.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So we're not dealing with that fund.
He was afraid it was when we saw the real estate tax.
No, that's
okay.
Yeah,
so we're not dealing with that fund. Okay.
No.
I want to make sure.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of the tax off of homes in the real estate excise tax fund.
Now, I would bring to council's attention the water utility reserves where we had $1 million in there for a new well. That would basically fall off a few years because we're taking the balance down to $500,000.
This does not include the new well is already taken care of in the water fund.
It's not in the reserve, it's in the other account.
Right.
Okay.
The water fund that has all of the money in it to take care of the well this year without taking any money out of reserves.
Okay.
And so
all of these accounts the same way. We're not touching reserves at all. This is just extra money in the accounts?
For which?
All of these accounts you're listing here.
No, we are. I compare it to the checking account and the savings, and these are the savings accounts.
That's correct.
Okay.
What we deal with, pay in, pay out, is kind of that they have their own balances.
Right. Okay.
Do you have that balance of the water fund? Was it in here? I guess it was only the utility fund you kind of did that with.
Right. Yeah, I don't have those available right tonight. But
that's all right.
I mean, I like the thought of
when I come in and talk to Mike Friday of using the utility tax. It's a good mm-hmm. use of that money. I hate seeing drawn on the first option that was proposed to us, drawn out as what you say is our checking account. It would have drew that down to our accountable minimum that we require to. I like this, and especially what I like about this too, we're not going out to the public and asking for money. We're completely funding this project with the money that they have given us to work with.
I think what and I like what Councilmember Johnson when he brought this up, the idea with the if we use utility taxes, even if we take that fund down to virtually nothing, it replenishes itself every year. Whereas the general fund reserve balance that we have, from year to year, we don't know what the difference in revenues and expenditures are going to be, and so I mean we're making a guess when we do the budget. But, I mean, we don't know exactly how the year is going to end. So we don't know if we're going to be able to raise that reserve or what we're going to be able to do. So it kind of makes you uncomfortable to draw it all the way down to the legal limit of $500,000 and then think that maybe it'll be, who knows, what will happen in the future years. So I like the idea that he brought this, when he brought this up, of maintaining a more significant a reserve balance in the general fund. And the real estate excise tax, it does replenish, but not at the rate that the utility tax fund does. I think we kind of receive around $50,000 a year as a rough guess in that fund annually.
Do you know when the last time we used any significant amount or any project that we used that
fund? In 2009, we transferred $52,500 into parks for some of the equipment and basketball courts and things. And that's the only time since I've been here that I think we've used that fund.
But what that shows me, if you take the real estate excise tax fund and you replenish it at $50,000 a year and you're wiping it out now, financing phase two and three is gonna get a little more challenging.
Yeah, I agree. This is one of the funding that Larry was talking about is of course really appealing. If we could start this project based on one of these scenarios, and then get some funding down the road, then of course we could carry over money into the next phase that we don't currently have.
It could almost be seed money for the next phase.
Yeah.
Right. There's also another potential revenue source. I sent you all a write-up about a street utility that the current legislature is looking at. If they pass that, we can you can look at that in July this year to see if you want to impose a street utility tax that would benefit this also. But that's not available yet, but there's a potential this year.
If we start this project with our money and that grant thing does come through, can we still use it for that, or is it for projects that are...
Yes, we can. Because I don't think we'll be able to apply for the entire amount with the funding that will be available through the stimulus funds. So we could dedicate a portion of it to the stimulus funds, or just say we're requesting 25%. I think there's lots of different avenues we can approach there.
Will you submit twice, once for this project, and since we're doing the engineering on the industrial area, submit for that one too?
As much as we can.
Because I don't think we're going to turn down free money on the council.
The other thing that's really beneficial as far as those stimulus projects go is the fact that you're shovel ready. That's a pretty important. The amount of days may vary that you have to be shovel ready, but a project of this size is difficult to design and get out to bid in a short amount of time. So if the council decides to move forward with one of these choices of project, we can go ahead and start on the design, and then if the stimulus becomes available, you can show that you're shovel ready. Your project of whatever magnitude is shovel ready and ready to go out to bid.
If we ponder this and approve it in February, is it like a 2011 project, or can you do it this summer? Or
do we plan on having it done this year? Depending upon
ain't it true also at this time of year that if we get in early, there's a lot of people out there shopping for the jobs, we could get our better price, hungry, and we
yes.
could try to get our better deals.
We've seen a lot of different bids so far this year on a wide variety of projects, well-drilling projects with 16 landholders, 6 bids, fire station with 16 bidders. Estimates are cost coming in tremendously under estimates.
Yeah, and if we wait too far down the road, all these bidders are already busy.
And I think this year we're probably going to see a lot of contractors still hungry because there weren't that many jobs last year. And the word we're getting is even this year, it's getting better but still bleak. So it'd be better to get the bids out as quick as possible. But even if it was postponed until sometime later this spring or early summer, I still think we'll get good bids.
Okay. And then on some of these grants and stuff have matching funds. What we have to supply. Could we use the funds that we invest in this portion of the street?
Absolutely.
For the matching funds?
Yes. We can look at that twofold. The funds that the city received from Adams County to start the project could be match funds or leverage towards additional grant funds. Plus, if we looked at the entire stretch of Main Street from 14th to the westerly limits and the funds that the city has put into it so far, plus any other grant funds that we get, we can match that against future grants also.
Larry, you mentioned the .08 monies from the county, basically. Can you share with the council where we're at with that money and the billing for it, $50,000?
We are just about the $50,000 limit. We didn't want to send a letter into the city to take to the county before all the funds were expended in case they chopped it off. But I would imagine within the next few weeks we'll be at that point where we can say, yes, it's done and here's the bill.
Our year expires in March to ask the county to replenish those monies that the city spent. It's the max that the county will allow, the $50,000. It's been approved if we can expend the money within 1 year. And again, our clock ends in March, so that's our 1 year. Our goal is to get an invoice in.
We don't see any problem with that.
So, Larry, you'd feel comfortable if we came back the 1st of February, like Mark's asking, first council meeting?
Yes.
We'd have plenty of time to get in there and
yes, we would.
Get the best price. Is that what the council would like to do? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And here's my thoughts on all this. First, Main Street is the worst I've seen it in the 30 years I've been in the fellow. Two, my priorities right now are Main Street, the Olympia between 4th and 7th, and this one's going to come out of left field at you. But 2nd Street from the Coventry House to Fur there, I don't know if you've seen that or visited that, but it like goes from two lanes to one lane or something as it approaches the stop sign. The street runs out there. And then kind of equally, my fourth priority would be residential overlays and the industrial area out there. So how we factor all that in with finishing the phases of Main Street is kind of going to be our challenge in the near future. But that's where I sit on all this. I would go with scenario one, just include Olympia as part of the bid, and hopefully, just like we did with the tennis court, that they're here and available, and it's you can save a lot of costs getting on some of these other projects.
Would that be the same as scenario two? I think they were talking about scenario two, not having it, but having that as an alternative in the bid. So if the bids are coming in cheap enough, that they could just include it into it.
I think we need to do an Olympia. I'm with Mark on that.
It's time.
The buses go down that every day.
Real.
And, you know, it's a half a street right now. They're driving on it. There's cars parked there. So they're, you know, driving half pavement, half gravel. And, you know, they're running on the edge of that pavement, breaking it off more. It's just making it worse and worse.
There's about a 2-inch drop off there
in the places.
The pavement and the gravel.
Yeah. So
at the
council wants to see then?
I think we need to leave that one in there.
Okay, so I guess when you come back, bring that on it also, on the same bid.
Maybe if we got some savings, we can look at that second project.
Yeah, it's possible.
I've noticed on some of those that, you know, it only goes back so far, and it's digging in right there at the end of that. It's like the,
correct.
You know, the truck is longer than the approach there, so we're really not accomplishing what we wanted to, I don't think.
Okay, this is part one of the major plan, which we've been trying to do for several years now, and the major plan basically what we're trying to do is the commercial areas side of Main Street, east and west, the first alley north, first alley south of Main Street, east and west, we're going to receive these concrete approaches. Then we're going to take the regrindings from the street overlays, and we're going to go in between every one of those approaches and roll that in and compact them in. This is just the beginning of it. And what you are seeing right now with the trucks digging out behind the asphalt was this was a very late in the year project. Action wasn't complete and it's probably good as it should have been, but that will be addressed in the spring as a maintenance issue, and if you should see a vast improvement of that. The paths are 20 feet by 20 feet is what they are. The idea behind that 20 feet is to put in the compacted regrind to eliminate that.
So is that part of this bid on Main Street? Regrinds are being distributed down the alley, or is that totally separate issue?
That'll be separate. In capital projects, there is $15,000 allocated for recrush grindings, and that intention is to put those in those alleys more than south of the main.
We couldn't get anybody to do it at that price, could we?
No, we couldn't get anybody to do it at all.
So is that something we want to maybe look at while we're doing this bid, just to see what that would cost to have them take the regrinds and put them in our alleys? Or are we not ready?
That's a whole other project, because when they come off the grinder, the street grinder, they're not ready for what they're trying to do. They need to go through another crushing process, a screening process, to go into the alley. And we're also looking at opposed to just using the regrinds and crushing and screening again. Mixing in some gravel by its minus, because we've had some issues with using the straight grindings in the alleys or in different parts of the city, that when they start to pothole, they're very hard to repair. So we're going to look at a mix that will actually still hold up but not pothole as easy.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, just an excellent presentation by our engineering firm and our staff. That was, I don't think it gets laid out any better than that.
If we're projecting this to the February 1st meeting, that's a workshop. We can't make a decision there. So the decision would be the February 8th meeting. Certainly discuss it all the time. Decision would be the next meeting.
Great. Burke's Refrigeration Electrical Contract Renewal. Jay?
In the previous years, Burke's Refrigeration has had an agreement with the city to maintain and install the city traffic telemetry system. Current fees that Bill charges us is $70 an hour. That would carry on into 2010 at the same rate. And this is not to exceed $400. That's per issue project. If we're doing a project that he gives us an estimate for that's $1,200, $1,400, $1,500. That's basically the approval. But for a call out for a minor item, anything over $400, he has to get approval through us. And he's traditionally performed the maintenance of the heating and air conditioning for all of the city buildings, except for the one here at City Hall, which was a major item. But he does the library, public works, filter changes, any of those such items for HVAC or anywhere within the city. He helps us troubleshoot wells. He helps us with power difficulties in the parks, things along those natures. And if you see, under here, duties of the agreement, are they're actually spelled out to the traffic telemetry, city library, city hall, city shop, city well repairs, city parks, and the city HVAC, and lighting, the traffic signals, of course. This is covered in our maintenance line item in the appropriate fund, depending on where he's working at. We have funds, different light items throughout the city, but if there's an electrical issue within that, we work within that budget for Mr. Burke. And at $70 an hour, and we're asking that his contract be renewed for 2010. Do you have any questions on that? Just as a side note before you do this, we are looking at sending a public works employee to a traffic signal school somehow where we can start doing some of the maintenance ourselves on the traffic signals. There's monthly cleaning and such that needs to be done to these signals. We want to make sure that we do have someone trained in that area to do it correctly for insurance purposes. But that's one of our goals this year.
Good. Question, Council, for Jay?
Okay. Do I hear a motion to renew the agreement?
To renew the agreement with Burke's Refrigeration.
Okay. Oh, sorry, guys.
First, second. Okay. Any other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, I'll pass this now.
Thank you.
Agreement with Tim Rich, Telemetry System, J, Telemetry.
Tim Rich Consulting is he's the contractor that works on our water telemetry system for our wells. He has brought in a new program to monitor our well system and the tanks. Annually, we budget $10,000 for maintenance of this system. Last year, we expended a little over our budget on that, but he did quite a bit of work with Well 7 and the telemetry system at Public Works itself. And we have budgeted $10,000 again this year, and we want to retain Tim Rich Consulting, Tim Rich himself, as our contractor for this project.
Questions for Jay? Okay, do I hear a motion to renew the contract with Tim Rich Consulting?
Make that motion.
Mark?
Second.
Ken? Any questions? No? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes.
Thank you.
State of Washington Intergovernmental Purchase Agreement. Mike?
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Mayor and members of council. The City of Othello is a member of the State of Washington Intergovernmental Purchasing Agreement. Through this membership, the city can purchase items such as police cars at the state bid rate. The term of this agreement and of this agreement and cooperative membership is January 1, 2010 through December 31st of 2011, so it's for 2 years, and the cost to renew for 2 years is $2,000. If we don't renew, Steve has to give back the police car. That's how we found out that our membership wasn't paid. So oh. I thought I might just kind of throw that in as a little leverage.
Oh boy.
They don't send out invoicing or anything. It's really funny. Anyway, so we got caught kind of. And then down here under the budget, I made the statement that the state of Washington, that they do not provide an invoice. Consequently, we didn't make provision for this in the budget. However, I wouldn't recommend doing a budget amendment at this point because I believe this can be absorbed in the budget, but we would know by year end and certainly be able to do it at that time, but that's up to council, of course. So staff recommends approval of the enclosed State of Washington Intergovernmental Agreement for the State Purchasing Cooperative. Are there any questions?
On the membership, it has annual expenditures of less than $3 million is only $400. We don't purchase more than $3 million in 2 years, do we?
They take our entire budget. I ran the numbers, and we were just a tad over the $7.5 million.
Oh, it's not just expenditures with them. It's total expenditures for the city?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
Any other questions for Mike? Okay,
Do I hear a motion to approve the State of Washington Intergovernmental Agreement for State Purchasing Cooperative?
I so move.
Ken?
Second.
Okay. Ken? Any other questions? Okay, all in favor say aye.
All right.
Aye. Opposed, the same.
Okay. Fantastic. Thanks, Mike. Thank you. Unfinished business. Any council members? No? Okay. New business.
I had some new business.
John?
Yeah. Just wanted to address everyone and somebody in particular. There comes a time in our lives that we realize that we need someone there to support us, encourage us, and see everything great in us. We need a witness to our lives. In turn, each of us needs that special someone that can support us and love us equally. As I look out at row 3 and see my biggest fan, thinking about how wonderful I am, I am reminded of how wonderful life is and how lucky I am. I am not a me anymore, I am a we.
Really?
Hannah Perkins.
Oh my God.
Do we need a motion on that?
It's definitely new business.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
What's going on here? Well, that's the second proposal we've had in this council chambers in 8 years.
Well, you know. Oh boy. Any other new business?
Yeah. I don't know if I want to top that or not.
Okay. We're gonna go into executive session. Where did I have that written down at, or did I? For property acquisition, according to RCW 4230.1110B, for about 20 minutes, starting at 8:15. So